skratka.
As I said at the beginning, my name is Father Harry Hagen. I am a monk of St. Monrad. I teach in our school Old Testament, and one of the classes that I have taught any number of times is a class on Psalms. I taught it earlier this year to a group on mostly lay people. There was a deacon in the class. It was on a weekend. We met all day Saturday and all day Sunday. It was quite a marathon. When I teach that course, one of the psalms that comes up early in the class is Psalm 8, which was the psalm that we had for the responsorial psalm this morning. And I use that psalm. It's a great psalm. It has wonderful ideas in it, but it also shows, it's a good example of Hebrew poetry and kind of the craft of Hebrew poetry. And the opening line of the psalm is the one that we use for our response. O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth. And what's interesting about that line of the psalm is that it repeats at the end. It's called an inclusio, which I make them learn from the test. And I ask them, you know, this line that appears at the beginning and the end, does it mean the same at the end as it meant at the beginning? And, you know, people will say, well, you know, it's the same words, and they're repeating exactly the same thing, so it should mean the same thing. But then there's always somebody in the class who realizes the teacher's probably looking for something a little bit different, and finally comes up and says, no, when it's repeated at the end, your perspective has changed because of what has gone on in the middle of the psalm. And so you have to look at the middle of the psalm to see what is going on in order to see what the kind of the new perspective is for when it repeats. Repetition is a typical part of Hebrew poetry. It will either repeat exactly the same words or almost the same words adding something new, or repeats in such a way, kind of the same idea, but in a little bit different perspective. And we see that here in this psalm. The first stanza that we had this evening says, when I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers. So there's heavens, which is the work of God's fingers. And then it says, the moon and the stars, which of course are part of heaven, which you set in place. What is interesting to me about that line is that the word sun does not appear. Usually when you have moon in the Psalms and other places in Hebrew poetry, it's paired with moon and sun and moon, and then maybe adding the stars. What this suggests, kind of the clue here, is that the psalmist is standing out under the night sky. And you have looking at the moon and the stars, which the fingers of God have made. And so you have the psalmist kind of taking in the mystery and wonder of the night sky. And therefore the psalmist says in the next two lines, what is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? The Hebrew word for man is enosh, which means, really refers to humanity. So it refers to kind of all of us. So it really is saying, what are we that you should be mindful of us? And then the son of man is ben Adam. Ben is the word for son, but also the word for just children in general. And Adam, of course, is Adam. Adam was taken from the Adama, the earth, and so it really emphasizes Adam's earthiness, his mortality. And here we get parallel, mindful and care. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, the children of Adam, that you should care for them? So the psalmist is standing with this night sky over him, this vision of wonder and mystery, and realizes how small he is, how finite he is, and yet asks why God is mindful of us, why God should care for us. And then the next line, you have made us little less than the angels. The word angels there in Hebrew is the word Elohim, which can mean gods. The ancient world, they believed, or they talked about these other gods. So you could translate that you have made us little less than gods. Angels kind of in the Christian context. But in emphasizing this, that we have been made wonderfully, a little less than the angels or gods. The word Elohim is also used for God himself. And so you could translate this, you have made us little less than God, than you, and crowned us with glory and honor. You have given us rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under our feet. So here we have this wonderful picture, this fellow who is looking at the night sky and is overcome by its majesty and wonder, but then begins to think of, who am I in front of all of that? And yet I am wonderfully made. One of the things that strikes me about this psalm is that we know a whole lot more about the night sky than this fellow did. And probably some of you know more than I do. We are in the Milky Way. We are a planet around the sun. The sun is a star in the Milky Way. The Milky Way is 150,000 to 200,000 light years across. Big. The Milky Way is a galaxy. And in the universe, the Milky Way is a galaxy, and in the galaxy of the Milky Way are between 100 and 400 billion, not million, but billion stars like the sun. And the Milky Way is one galaxy in the universe, and they estimate that in the universe there are billions of galaxies. So when we look at the night sky, it is surely a wondrous and mysterious vision that we have. And yet the psalm invites us to ask, what are we human beings that you should be mindful of us, children of Adam, that you should care for us? It's not just that God is aware, but cares for us, and that we have been made little less than the angels, little less than gods, little less than God himself. We who are able to look and to understand and to explore this night sky. This is part of the mystery of God, and today we celebrate the Trinity, which is one of the great mysteries. Not a puzzle, but a mystery, a manifestation that things are more wonderful, more interesting than we can possibly imagine. St. Augustine talks about the Trinity, and he says that from all eternity, God had a thought that was so perfect that the thought was a person in and of itself, and that the bond between God and the thought was also the perfect love, and so a person. And so God is three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's a mystery. Wonderful. Interesting. Something to be probed, but doesn't come to an end. And that is what we celebrate today. At St. Meinrad, in our seminary and school of theology, we try to hand over a sense of this mystery and wonder that has come to us in Christ Jesus and is given to us in the Church. And we work at that. I think we work pretty well. I'm prejudiced, I realize, but I think we do a good job of giving that sense to people. Certainly in this day and time, we want to do a good job. In the Rule of St. Benedict, he says that people who come to the monastery should be told everything hard and difficult whereby one goes to God. Everything hard and difficult. And I think certainly in the school, as we form people to be priests, we try to be real and realistic with them and to talk about all the things that are hard and difficult so that when they get to parishes, they can be real and realistic and good ministers, good priests for the people that they serve. I want to say also that in the seminary we have a fine group of seminarians. I'm very proud of them. This summer you have one seminarian, Joseph Neri, is with you, and you can see what a fine group of seminarians. He's a good representative of that. The students, they make good priests. Some of the finest people that I know are priests. Several years ago, I had a young man in my prophet's class. He was from Bloomington, Indiana. His name was Michael Kucher. He always seemed to have a smile on his face, big smile. In that class, I had them write poems, not because most of them, or not very many of them, are going to be poets, but as a kind of an exercise so that they understand poetry kind of from the inside and not just from the outside. And I want them to do that so that they will be good preachers, that they will be people who realize something of the power of language. And so I looked back to see what this seminarian Michael Kucher wrote, and I found a poem. And I think it fits with what I was talking about in the sense that the psalm talks to us about mystery. And in this psalm, or in this poem that he wrote, I think he's talking about dust. You know, dust that gets on a window or a computer screen, or when the light is coming in, you can see the dust floating around and so forth. But he finds in it something mysterious. And his poem is called Grains of Glory. I see them, speckled on the page, sketched on the screen, standing on the ceiling, soaring in the sky. Everywhere they're dancing and dazzling, mingling and moving, spinning and swinging, twittering and teasing. I can't escape these armies of atoms, spots of space, dots of delirium, grains of glory. Michael Kucher. I hope that helped him preach. I hope that helped him preach. Later this week, you will get a letter. I'll talking a little bit more about the various things that we do at St. Meinrad. I know that some people support us in that work on behalf of Father Archabbot and the community. I certainly thank you for that. I ask all of you to pray for us, to pray for our work. But the most beneficial thing that you can do for us, the best thing that you could do for us, is send us a student, and we will send him or her back.